Blinding sun, deceptive moon, and concealing shadows. Many secrets are held beyond the sight of humanity. Wondrous and dangerous, the mysteries of Dearstan leave no one unchanged. The bold crew role players are pleased to welcome you into that perilous liminality between the mundane, the unknown, and the unknowable. Whispers from Beyond is a Mage the Awakening Chronicle following the journey of Emily Tau, played by Craig. I'm Bill, and I will be your storyteller for this dive into the mysteries of Dearstan. Good afternoon, good evening, or wherever you are. Welcome back to Mage the Awakening, our second adventure, the Phantom Hitchhiker. Shay, when last we left you, you had found a ghost in your car haunting a passenger, apparently, when you were doing your rideshare driving, dropped her off after very covertly casting a spell to keep him intact and from running off, and gone to park at a little bit of a quiet green spot outside of the city so you could confront him. Magical tools in hand. Let's start right there.
I think the line was, are we going to have a problem? I say as I'm kind of brandishing the hammer, as threatening as my 19-year-old self can be. And I'm just staring down at the ghost. I use the mana so we can like interact at this point.
Problem? What are you going to do with that? I'm dead. Think that's going to touch me? The car barely touches me, and I'm in it.
Ah, good to see you're in a talkative mood, and I'm just kind of like trying my best to exude confidence at this point, despite like not feeling like I've never done this before. I'm trying to probably do like a bit from a movie or something at this point, but I'm just kind of like trying to like gets like a better read on him, because like I was getting anger and frustration, but now I'm actually getting voice back from him.
To be fair, who knows how many humans have actually spoken to him, if any, since he died. But he is looking at you, and he still does look pretty angry and frustrated. He's just in a car, and there's a little confusion because he's been stuck in this car for a while. He says, why am I still here anyway? Why am I not there? I got haunting to do.
She deserves this.
And at, you know, she deserves this. His voice does drop like an octave and a half. He doesn't even seem conscious of it, but it does.
I kind of like visibly wince at that. I'm like, that's maybe where we have a problem there. Not sure that you're the person who gets to decide that.
I think I'm the best one qualified to decide that. Wasn't for her, I'd be breathing air right now.
Well, that doesn't make you Judge Judy an executioner.
He just looks a little confused at the reverend. And then, look, justice is mine, okay? My blood, her hands, she's not cleaned it up yet. I want my world back.
Care to explain? For, you know, any of us who, you know, didn't see your version of these twisted events.
You know, this sounds a lot like a presence and empathy role, or maybe actually, that's probably your best combination, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like I'm trying to get him to open up and like, okay, yeah, I get that she probably wronged him at some point, or possibly was the cause of his death, accidental or otherwise, but she's a college student or whatever. So like, I think Che has some thoughts that maybe it's not worth ruining two lives over. So yeah, I think what do you say, presence and empathy?
Yep, you get an extra die because you do have that specialty in active listening.
Ooh, that's what that does.
But all right, you're gonna take two dies out of the pool because frankly he's really pissed at you for trapping him in the car.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So it's a net negative one. You got four dice.
All right. That's one success there.
One success is enough to get him to start talking. That's kind of how I'm doing this. I'm not going to be like get a million successes, I'm going to keep with my thing of you're taking the dice penalty and then you can succeed or you can succeed amazing.
Yeah. And plus, it's far more fun to RP it out. But
oh, definitely. But this will get him talking now as opposed to slightly later. And he looks at you and says, so I went to the casino near Deerston when I turned 21, and it was awesome, and the drinks were cheap, and she was flirting with me at the table, and every time I lost a little money, she just kept encouraging me to go bigger and go bigger and go bigger, and I bet everything. I bet more than I had. I don't know why they let me make such a big bet, but they did, and they were pissed because I didn't have anything else to give them. She had vanished for a little bit during this, came back and said, let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere else. Took me to another bar instead of this casino. It was a little seedier, but I didn't care. She had a drink for me, then another drink for me. And, well, I blacked out somewhere in the middle of that. I woke up for a couple seconds afterwards, and it was agony. He lifts up his shirt, and you can see a Y incision on his torso.
There's an audible gasp.
It's not stitch closed at all, I should mention. He pulls back a flap of skin, and there's nothing in there.
I blink once with my death sight.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're seeing him with your death sight, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like involuntary, like just like a shudder to just to step back because I've never seen everything like this before. And I put my hand up to my mouth, like almost like in shock of what I'm seeing.
I'm pretty sure that's how I paid. And that she was working with the debt collectors, if you know what I mean.
And you know this?
Well, how else would I have gotten knocked out like that? Yeah, I hadn't been really drinking before, but she was also getting me all my drinks.
I mean, it's not possible that someone else did this to you.
You're in my shoes. Think about it just for a few seconds. Who else do I got to go on? Bright lights in my face and a mask? Half a second of screaming while the blood's going out of me? Took me a while to wake up on the other side.
And what would you do if you caught her?
I'm trying to give her the fear of everything she did to me. I want her to experience what I did. I don't know if I want her on this side of everything, but I want her to really understand what she did. And I want it not to happen again.
So right now, she's kind of feeling like she might have made a huge mistake by saving this girl, but again, doesn't believe that she should necessarily die for this because she doesn't have all the facts. Like, what kind of read am I getting on? Like, do I feel like he's being truthful?
Let's give another perception and empathy.
Alrighty. Wait, perception?
Oh, sorry. Wits, I keep forgot. Too many versions of the game. Wires got crossed.
What's an empathy? Would this
be you're listening? Definitely. Yeah.
Am I penalized for this?
No, because this is exactly what your skill set is designed around.
Alrighty, let's see here. Do ones cancel? No.
Nope. Ones don't cancel. Tens explode.
Oh, so that's three with a 10. That's four. Woohoo! Explosion.
Yeah. You got a feeling that he definitely believes what he's saying. He believes it with absolute and total confidence.
I stand there, like, bite my lip, and, like, I was ready to go all, like, Righteous White Knight on this guy and just put him down, but I'm like, oh, man, like, she feels like she messed up, but possibly not the worst. Like, she's not sure if what this guy says is true, she probably does deserve some punishment, but she's not sure if she's the best judge of what the punishment was. or should be. So I look back down at him and say, who are you? Maybe, I don't know. I feel some sort of responsibility here. I don't necessarily think just letting you loose on her's the best thing, but maybe we can come to some sort of agreement. I might even be willing to help a little bit.
I'm Brian.
Sorry?
I'm Brian.
And is there anything else you could tell me? Maybe like her name, who she is?
She told me her name was Jackie. I don't know if she was telling the truth, but I've heard her on the phone as Jackie since then. Look, what else am I going to do? When you're dead, you got to follow the things that keep your soul from like wasting away and dying. And out of my options, she's the less awkward one.
Is there a more awkward one?
He just looks back and forth. I'm going to have to like manipulation and persuasion that out of him.
Alrighty. That's 4 dice there. That's 2 successes.
He looks like, yeah, my corpse. What's left of it?
So
you think I want to be there? Alone? Forgotten? At least I see people this way.
So out of character, is he describing that he could either be attached to his body or attached to his feelings of her in this world?
You've gotten a bit of training. You know ghosts have an anchor. It's something that keeps their essence from draining out. Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's got 2 of them and he's stressed or frustrated enough or doesn't think it matters enough to hide that from him. From you, you know? So his anchors are her and his corpse that he's admitted to.
Hmm.
Maybe he's got more. Maybe he's a dumb ghost. Who knows?
Right. And does Che know, like, this, like, do ghosts like move on or something if one or more of these anchors are destroyed?
If they are out of anchors, they tend to be stuck in the underworld until they're able to really either let go or become something else. So the anchors let them be in the physical world, even if it's, you know, in the physical world's twilight, is insubstantial creatures. Yeah.
And he mentioned that this seemed to be the preferable option.
Yeah. So I'm sure it probably has its awkward side effects.
So, Brian, you like being a ghost?
I like being alive. I'm just a ghost now. That's it. Doesn't matter whether I like it or not. Unless I can come back to life, I'm a ghost.
I see.
And I didn't believe in resurrection before, but I didn't believe in ghosts before either. Well, why are you asking me this? Do you like bring people back from the dead? Are you like some kind of a Jesus or something? A Miss Jesus?
Well, I'm very new to this, as I assume that you are as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long ago did this happen?
Winter break.
And I nod at that. Best case scenario, what would you like to happen? Obviously, come back to life, but I'm not sure if that's within the realm of possibilities, but I could do some asking.
Well, I mean, if there's like a paradise, I wouldn't mind that or something like that, but I figured if there was a heaven or a hell, I'd be there instead of here.
Well, we could wax poetic about it, but there is something else. And I'm definitely lowering my guard now. I'm not like brandishing the hammer like a beatdown stick anymore. I'm kind of like, it's now like I just shove it in the pocket of my jeans a little bit and cross my arms a little bit. And like, I assume he's just still sitting in the backseat of my car. And now I've had the door open as I'm talking to him.
Yeah, I mean, your magic is still on, so he's not going to go anywhere. He'd already tried to leave before.
Right. The scene may have ended up, but he doesn't know how long it lasts.
Yeah, well, I'm treating this the same scene, but different session, because thematically, it doesn't make sense to say the scene ended because we ran out of night.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm just being more conversational, and I'm like, maybe I even lean on the door, and I said, again, we can wax poetic about it, but I did have some experience of the other side, and it wasn't all bad. There are parts of you, as I understand, that are temporary, like your physical form, and I gesture around, and there's things of you that are more permanent, and I gesture at his ghostly form in my backseat. I did help someone transition once before. I'm not sure if the same outcome is possible for you, but I'm willing to look into it.
This might be a moment for an intelligence and occult role to see how much your training can pull in.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing this has nothing to do with Hmong culture.
No, it does not, unless you're going to start trying to bring a bit of traditional Hmong religion in on him.
Yeah, no, I don't have any successes, so I'm just guessing based off of my own knowledge right now, and I would definitely need to consult people to be sure what's possible.
That's fair. No extra info from me then, from your training. You can't report anything more.
Yeah, because like my instructions were like, you know, observe and report, but I decided to intercede because I'm a player character and I can't keep my hands to myself.
Well, at least it keeps the game from getting boring on you by accident.
Yeah.
No. She does not have any more knowledge off the top of her head from her training.
Yeah.
I mean, she's only been doing it on and off for 5 months, and all of those 5 months have been as equally active.
Right. And a lot of it was personal vehicle maintenance, rather than what happens to you when you die, because everyone has a different experience. And like mine was through Stygia, but I don't know if that's the same for him or anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, well, luckily Shay does have the ability to consult on this kind of thing if she needs to.
Yeah, that's a plus. So I'm kind of like furrowing my brow and trailing off. I'm like, does the idea of moving on appeal to you at all? I mean, I could tell you more of what I experienced, but I can't promise you that it'd be the same for you. Maybe there is some sort of paradise. I don't know.
Best I can say is I'm willing to listen to you right now, because I can't do anything but listen while I'm in here. But that doesn't mean I want to do it, because to be all stereotypical and crap, I got unfinished business.
I understand. And if I were to just say, allow you to leave, what then?
Then I gotta go back somewhere safe for me, and you know my options. Otherwise, it gets kind of painful over time. It's already getting uncomfortable for me.
I understand. I empathize with your desire for revenge or some sort of justice on this. But if you were to give me, I don't know, a few days or something, maybe I can help find another way. I really understand it might be painful. It wasn't pleasant for me coming back.
Wait, so you can come back?
My body was, it didn't look like that. And there's people that are much more powerful than me. And let's just say I may have gotten very lucky with my timing. I don't want to give you false hope, but I want you to know that I will sincerely try.
Well, that's at least something. So you're going to let me out, and you want to meet me in a couple days? How am I supposed to find you in a couple days?
I mean, I guess we could set up a meeting point.
All right.
Where do you hang out normally?
He thinks for a moment. I mean, I only got two choices, and neither of them's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
All right. I'll meet you at the dock of the Penobscot Yacht Club, okay?
Okay. Again, I don't know how long this might take, but say 3 days.
3 days. Okay. Sunset, 3 days. Because, I mean, I don't exactly have a watch anymore.
Yeah.
My cell phone does not get service from beyond or whatever you want to put it.
I smile at that. Yeah, I, again, don't know a lot, but I can imagine it's tough. And I almost go to, like, touch him to put my hand on his shoulder, but then I kind of think better of it.
Yeah, if he's not aware of whether or not you can touch him, this would be a way for you to reveal too much.
Yeah. All right. Sunset Yacht Club, 3 days. Let's see what we can do. Again, I can't promise you any specific results, but I don't know what, you know, I don't think that someone like that should necessarily, you know what I'm trying to say here? I messed up, but I don't think that person should have to, like, I don't know. And I kind of like put my, like, cross my arms and, like, put my head in my arms. Like, it's obvious that I'm very, very new at this thing.
You know that I'm not in the wrong here. You might not agree with me, but you know that I'm not in the wrong here.
I kind of nod and, like, or like when I lift my head up, I'm kind of crying a little bit.
He looks really, really awkward at that. Like, he has no idea what he's supposed to do anymore. Because his usual reactions to a girl crying in front of him don't apply anymore. He's dead.
Yeah. And, like, not saying that Jay Emily would, like, be trying to foster, like, sympathy from that or, like, try to use it to her advantage because she's, like, not a manipulative person, but, like, she's very, very new at this and doesn't, probably deep down, she knows that he probably is right to some degree, but doesn't know how to express that out to him in a way that doesn't completely dismiss the justice that he perceives that might be needed.
Yeah. He looks at me and says, I think we both need a moment. Can I go?
Yeah. Yeah. 3 days at the dock. And I step away from the door and kind of, like, give a nod to, like, end the spell. And, like, I'm holding on the hammer in case he tries anything. I don't think he is, but, like,
no, he kind of starts running and then off pretty quickly and then starts kind of flickering, like, faster than the space around it was moving. Probably, yeah, the pull of his anchors, if nothing else.
Yeah, I kind of give, like, yeah, a half-hearted wave as he flickers out.
Yeah, and he's gone, leaving you in the park with your thoughts.
I don't know, I probably, like toss the hammer into the back seat and just, like, put my hands above my head and just, like, take a deep breath, because that was not exactly how Jay Emily thought this was going to go. And it's really frustrating to her, but she's not sure if she did the right thing or not.
Yeah, and either way, all you got's a first name right now and he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to push him too hard, but I think Emily gives herself a few minutes and then Che picks up the phone at some point and sends a message to Yamaduta with the can we meet up? I met someone on my patrols.
Get a text back. Okay. Cabin at 6.
I text back up. A yellow thumbs up emoji, and then I, like, it's like afternoon at this point. I thought we said right, or like late afternoon, beginning into early evening.
Yeah, so 6 o'clock gives you basically like an hour.
Yeah, which, I mean, it should be just enough time to, like, swing over to the cabin.
Yeah, I mean, you
got collecting myself.
Pretty much. I mean, the cabin's about 45 minutes away. Yeah. From where you are, but he didn't know where you were, so.
Yeah. I think I'll just give myself a few minutes to collect myself before I get back into the car and just kind of, like, very slowly and casually drive over there, maybe like kind of make it so like I arrive as close to six as possible, because like I feel like Emily's feels comfortable just driving around thinking thoughts to herself in her car, but is not quite at the point where she just wants to like chill in his driveway for like a half hour beforehand.
That is fair. I mean, there are slightly more roads that of a faster variety in this area of Maine than any of our listeners would see on Google Maps, thanks to us having a bit higher population than Google would tell you about. But even still, it does not make it perfectly easy to get a little bit of the back roads through. Emily gets to head south from the Bangor area where she is right now towards Dearson and takes off on one of those lovely numbered state routes that everyone forgets about. That leads her deeper right into wilderness of what's called the Dead River Conservation Area. It's a kind of large, sort of rectangular chunk of nice conservation wilderness area with exactly two chunks of private land inside it. And this happens to be one of those two pieces. It's a long dirt road. You're surprised that he was able to keep it open at all in the winter level dirt road, but it is smoother than it looks and doesn't destroy the undercarriage of your car, thankfully, leading back there. At near the end, near where you know his house is, there's a small path, smaller drive that goes off to the side that you'd never noticed until he pointed that out to you, and now you can't unnotice it. He basically says, you take that one. You're not quite at the point where I'm going to introduce you at home. This is where the magic stays. And you go down that bit of a turn off. The woods get a little deeper. You know that further up ahead, it clears up. There's a little bit of a clearing when you went too far one time before the house comes up. But down this way, the woods get a little deeper, a little darker. You know the river is getting close, and there's a small cabin up ahead. About three quarters of the area is surrounded by, well, old colonial era stone graves, one or two mausolea. Every now and then you see him checking on them. He had you practice mage sight a lot here, looking for things. It's almost always very quiet, except for one ghost who guards the gateway to the underworld that happens to be in this particular graveyard. And that ghost generally ignores you unless you pay attention to him. You're certain English was not his first language. He looks like he predated the colonial types.
Are there any other cars parked in the area?
Yeah, there's a Jeep there already.
Yeah, I know that to be his car.
You do, yeah.
So I spent, you know, a decent amount of time here in the last few months, I think, because, like, we talked how, at least offline, how, like, well, even to make that magic hammer, it took, like, a month, and, you know, Emily and Jess share, like, less than 700 square feet of an apartment. They're likely not just doing that in her living room, so is it fair to say this is, like, one of the main trading spots?
It is very fair to say that. You know, inside the cabin, there is a good old-fashioned metal wood stove in it, which shares a chimney with something of a forge for when he's worked a little bit with the materials. He doesn't seem to specialize in that, but has it anyway, almost as if it's a matter of curiosity for him, or a matter of alchemy. It might be easier to work with a crucible on that. It's a relatively stark and simple cabin, like 1.5 rooms, almost. There is an outhouse, technically. Somehow it doesn't get too cold, but it is an outhouse. There's water from a hand pump, and he always insists that the cars stay at least, like, almost 100 yards away from the cabin itself, and the electronics stay in the car. The place is off the grid, off the map, and he told you once that if you brought anything closer, it's not going to have reception. And if it did, something would have gone wrong, and I don't want that to have gone wrong.
Yeah. So I think, like, when Emily parks, like, she'll take a second to just make sure there's nothing on her phone before turning it off, and then she'll, like, remove her sunglasses and put the sunglasses on top of Clifford and put the phone in the fanny pack around Clifford, as per usual. She'll, you know, retrieve her hammer from the back seat, where she tosses it in, like pull one of her Moleskine notebooks out from the glove compartment. I feel like she has like a messenger bag or something that
we established her having one last week that she keeps a bit of her tools in.
Yeah, so I think she dump some of her school books out of it and like just shoves the tools and some of her mage stuff in it. Probably thinking at this point she should probably have a separate bag for her two lives, but gathers up the tools of the trade and walks over. I don't think she bothers to lock the car at this point. It's probably so remote and that she wouldn't need to, and if someone had gone out here and started breaking in the car, she'd have bigger problems. So she probably just like leaves the keys in the ignition.
Yeah, the way Yamaduta has always described it to you, if someone managed to find this place, your locks would not matter to them.
Yeah, and I think she kind of does it out of habit first, but like probably has a bit of reassurance that she probably feels safe with all whatever wards might be out here and veils, but gives herself like the once a pat down to make sure she didn't like leave a smartwatch on or something. But probably climbs up the one deck that like looks like it's going to be creaky, but it is quite firm, or at least has been more firm since she's been spending time around here.
Yeah. Your teacher is inside. He's stoking the wood stove a little bit. It is still cold. There is snow in the shadow of a lot of trees, but not along the road itself. This is, after all, late March, and there are places in this part of Maine where the snow survives through August, even miraculously through 90-degree heat, just because the shadows fall correctly for it.
And that's not even magic.
It is not. I've been there in person and seen it. But the cabin, he is there. He's put a couple more pieces of wood on the stove. You can see that he has been boiling water and has just poured it into a large old tea kettle he's got there.
I look around like for, does he probably, does loose leaf tea.
He does loose leaf tea.
Yeah. I think instinctively go and like retrieve the box, that wooden box where like it's in, and like almost wordlessly help him get this ready.
He nods to you while preparing it. You can see that there's already the cushions are out on the floor. The setup of this cabin very much feels like it's more of a northern India kind of ashram setup almost than you would expect in Maine, but it seems to be comforting to him, tied into a lot of the metaphor he uses, so it makes perfect sense to you. It's almost in some ways related to the kinds of things that your grandmother would have told you about.
Yeah. I finished the whatever like tea ceremony that we probably did dozens of times before. Like probably not like ceremonies, like more of a flavorful word. I think it's like just this pattern that we go through of putting it together the same way every time. And, you know, I put leaves in my own cup, put some in his, and then I would pour for him, I think, out of respect. And I'd, you know, wait for him to take a sip before sipping myself. And I think only after he has sipped and sat down, then I would take the other cushion and kind of like push my hair back out and like kind of put it in a ponytail so it's just out of my way, and kind of just wait for him to begin talking.
Well, Jay, I'm very glad to see that whatever you need a few words on is not so stressful that you cannot take the moments to calm down beforehand. Have you learned something important?
I think so, teacher. I don't know if I made a mistake or not, but I think that's part of the learning.
One gains wisdom from experience, and experience often comes from mistakes. When we are lucky, they are someone else's instead of our own.
Yeah, I think I did the right thing, but I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if I'm the right one to even judge. And like, Chase actually speaking much softer than she normally would at this point, trying to get, like, in here, it's a realm of she's Che, definitely not Emily. And, you know, it's trying to get more comfortable with that, with her superhero persona, as she likes to think of it, then taking on aspects of who she thinks she should be shaping herself into as like a more magical entity, and kind of briefly kind of describes how she was, you know, driving around and, you know, doing her observe and report patrols, but she used the term ghost with him. A ghost followed a passenger to her vehicle, and like sensing his like ill intent, decided to delay the ghost using one of those techniques that we've been practicing enough to drive away and separate the two, the ghost and who I believe, and the woman I believe to be his anchor. And she kind of looks questioningly at that.
He actually winces slightly at that, as though it is not an unknown prospect to him.
I nod, accepting that I may have made a mistake, but moving the story forward. I tell him how, like, I didn't know what to do, and I thought at first I was possibly saving this woman the same way I saved, he would know about Amanda, save her the same way I saved Amanda, but it's quite possible that his vengeance isn't unwarranted. And I describe like the why incisions and his theory about how his organs were harvested either by like some like skullduggery or other means, and how she may actually be involved, but I'm not quite sure. And that, teacher, is why I've come for advice. I do not believe that she might be deserving of a full spiritual torment. Again, I'm not quite sure if that's even what he'd be capable of, but given the information I knew at the time, I acted. And anyways, I promised this man, this Brian, that I would at least look into it in some way to make something either more bearable or some sort of moving on. I don't have all the answers, but I was hoping, teacher, that you could point me in the right direction. We're meeting again in 3 nights.
Well, if you don't know whether or not you can believe his story, the best thing to do would be check the facts, wouldn't it? If someone went missing over winter break, I'm sure it will show up in a newspaper or police logs or something.
It can't be too many casinos around here. And he did give me the yacht club as a space that he could access quite easily.
So that, which probably means his body is somewhere relatively near there.
Yeah.
If this is casinos and crime, he could very well sleep with the fish.
And she kind of like does like a half smile, because like he understands the attempt at a joke, but she's like feeling like this is too serious for joking.
He continues almost unperturbed. You are aware that he tries to keep these things from becoming serious beyond the merit of seriousness. And he says, otherwise, it could be just a coincidence and his body could otherwise be elsewhere, or she could live near there. Every spirit has a slightly different range at which they can tolerate separation from their anchor before it pains them. Though the yacht club, you said, that's starting to get near Dearston. You must be careful not to go on that island.
Dearston? I've been there dozens of times, though. What's wrong with it?
Well, this is when you were not awakened. We have a ban to keep from going there. Paradox is far, far worse to those who practice magic on Dearston ever since an incident 100 years ago almost. Something unnatural from the abyss was released in that area. And while it was bound under Dearston after it was captured. There are forces there which do not appreciate our kind. So if you go to Dearston, which I advise against, for we currently have it as law not to go without permission, you must not provoke paradox. Even the normal methods we have to lessen or mitigate it guarantee nothing in that place. And you can awaken unwanted attention, great ease.
Dare I ask who or what could possibly bind something like this?
Several masters of the art did at the time. I know they bound it after the close of the First World War. Before then, it had been loose for a bit. Also, a number of other supernaturals inhabit the area, and they are more hostile towards us there than they are in other places, especially the vampires.
And Jay, like, opens her mouth as if to ask something, but doesn't, because it seems way above her pay grade at the moment. So she'll just nod instead. So what sort of options does a ghost have?
Given that they're almost more echoes and imprints than anything else, they are bound both by their passions and their anchors. They have, if they resolve things, the ability to move on somewhere else. They let go of their anchors, they can be brought into the underworld, which has its own dangers and prices. There are forces in the underworld which don't want any ghosts to be on this close to the veil between the living world and not. They wouldn't even leave them in twilight. But the underworld is also a cruel, cruel place. And I would not advise you to even think of venturing there for some time, should you accidentally find the key to one of the gates.
So, what about being remade? I've seen it done once before. Is that an option?
You speak of what you told me was in Stygia?
I nod.
Stygia is not the underworld. Stygia is a place above, beyond. Stygia is far more pure. The underworld that is available to ghosts here is but a tainted reflection, a flawed and broken mirror. These ghosts are not souls, but they still are deserving of our compassion, such as we may give it.
And this is echoing back to some of the like ethical questions that we went over during the interview processes about, and like Jay's just wondering, like, what more than just be compassionate can she possibly do? In fact, she's going to ask that. What more than just being compassionate can I do? Is there like a least evil way to help this guy move on?
It may be that you can help him make peace with his own death. He lets go of vengeance. His stay on this side will be less painful for him. And if he moves on to the underworld, it may or may not, depending both on fortune and his actions, work out for him that it is less suffering than it can be for others. Not all places within it are wholly evil, but they are bound to their own laws.
I see. So we don't really know what would be best for him, other than to get him to give up his vengeance. I don't know much about this Jackie person, but
what man or woman can truly know another's karma? even fate does, the fate arcana does not reveal all truths and paths, nor can time guarantee an outcome. How would you want to be treated in his shoes?
I guess I would want to be heard out at least, but in his shoes, would I still have his level of hatred? I don't know how that would change my decision.
Yourself, with your greater enlightenment and your greater knowledge, yet looking from his perspective, empathy, compassion, these are hallmarks of wisdom, causing not change or harm that is unnecessary.
I definitely didn't want him to, go Gozard and Destroyer on this Jackie person, no matter what she did.
Then you have it. Your best action here is to find a way to resolve this with the least harm to all involved that you can. Find the truth. Look into what he has told you. Look into her. You don't have too many classes these next couple days, do you? Drive less. Learn more.
And it is March. She doesn't have a whole lot of classes, and midterms are a bit away. So I guess I could have a few leads, I guess. There's Jackie herself. There's the casino. I think investigating by the docks and see what's around there is worth a shot as well.
Don't be afraid to use your sight. It will tell you things that you will not be able to find with sleeping eyes. You have the power to know. Use it. And by which, of course, he means that knowing is one of the practices of the first Arcanum that lets you pull knowledge right out of the air as a gentle reminder.
Yeah. No, I think when he says that, like the full meaning of you have the power to know is seeping in, and like the Emily brain switches back to the Che brain and it's like, oh yeah, magic. So all right. I might need to do some preparations.
You know, Zun says, as you need, use the space here. You're my student. You're welcome to it.
And I sip the remaining portion of my tea and nod at him.
Waits just a few more moments longer and says, do you think you have your way then for now?
Yeah, I think I might need to poke around by the docks for the very least to see if there's anything I could pick up before there. At the very least, I'll know where they are physically, so I know where to meet them again. Then, I don't know, I could see it. I could see if I could find this Jackie person again. I probably had some leads on her through her ride request.
He nods to this, has a small smile. Good. Good. Pay attention to the tools you have.
Yeah.
And remember, use them carefully. Yeah, though you have far less to fear from Paradox than a more powerful mage, should you overreach your skills slightly, that does not mean it is to be taken carelessly. You know that you must not deliberately unleash it. Take the risk on yourself instead of the world around us.
Yeah, I think Che, like, he's probably had Che practice, like, you know, sort of like how someone learning to drive in slick weather might, you know, practice slamming on the brakes in an empty parking lot to see what it's like. Maybe he has had her, you know, build up a tiny bit of Paradox in a private space just to understand what it feels like, you know, have like some handrails on the magic.
Pretty much, and make you focus on remembering to use mana to help reduce the risk of it. The fact that your hammer alone helps you reduce the risk of it a good amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. But at the same time, you know, you have to be aware of it. You have to know when and how much to be willing to take a chance. And he is a cautious man. He does not advise taking chances without good reasons, especially if you can outsmart the need to take one.
Yeah. And I know this is something that, like, mechanically Che could probably just do, but I think, if I'm going to be going to a place that was possibly a crime scene, like that without a trace thing might be a good thing to study up on how to cast ahead of time.
Definitely. You have differing levels of without a trace kind of thing you can do. You have, I believe, the death version of it is within your reach.
Yeah. Yep. That was the praxis one I chose that I'm supposed to be really good at.
Yep. That one you can crit with 3 successes on instead of 5.
Yeah.
That's the praxis bonus on it.
Mm-hmm. So.
And that one will just leave no evidence behind you, but it's not going to make you invisible to somebody or anything like that. Cameras will still pick you up and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But you can't be forensicked.
Yeah.
If that's a verb.
Sure. And I think Che wants to, like, at least, like, now that she's in a spot where there's, you know, possibly grimoires or like some guidance on how to do something, she wants to try to like that one's supposed to be really easy, but there might be like a version like in like a similar version of Matter to make her like not be picked up by cameras as well.
Or if only you had a second dot in Matter.
Yeah.
You know, he's described a little bit of what that is like to you, but you have not reached mm-hmm. the level of skill to pull it off, unfortunately.
Yeah. So that's how I'm buying up your dots works.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, like, I'm basically using this time as flavor of her studying for possibly getting, like, a similar effect, but with Matter. But for now, she's going to, like, you know, get that down so she could. So do I cast it, like, ahead of time, or do I?
It's a duration-based spell.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cast it normally, you get a duration based on 1 turn per success. If you're doing it without using any of your reaches toward it, you get 1 reach towards that because it's a depth 2 spell and you have 2 in depth.
Mm-hmm.
And you can spend that reach either turning it from a 3-hour ritual into an instant cast where you're getting 1 turn per success. Or you can turn it instead, leave it as a 3-hour ritual, but use that reach to give yourself advanced duration. So 1 success puts that at like a scene or an hour. And then each additional success extends that out greatly.
Yeah. Is there like a way, does that ritual have to be 3 hours uninterrupted? Or like, could I do like 2.5 now and a half hour later to complete?
It's got to be 3 uninterrupted. It's the level of Gnosis you're at. Mm-hmm. Get to Gnosis 3 and you can start doing them in 1 hour instead.
Makes sense. Yeah, like, I'm not, maybe she'll, like, she does have other responsibilities other than just being a full-time wizard, but maybe she'll start driving into the general direction, do some like research on, you know, like some Google research on the area outside the cabin, of course. But she may or may not have other responsibilities as well. So
that's fair. For your FYI, on duration, considering you got death 2, you get a single success. You're guaranteed to be treated with 2 successes. If you want it, 2 successes on an advanced duration lets the spell last for a whole day.
Oh, perfect.
And 3 will let you have it last for a week if you don't cast any other magic or cancel it.
Hmm.
So you could very easily make that spell last a long time for no forensic evidence.
Yeah. And that might be something that she builds up to, but it's like 7 o'clock on a weekday. And I don't think plus there's like an hour drive to get back to the apartment.
There is.
So. She might start driving back and see what kind of like things happen along the way. And if nothing else, she might just stay up and do the ritual if she can and do it tomorrow, the investigation. But we'll see.
Sounds good. All right. So you practice mm-hmm. a tiny bit. You know that if you do it as a quick spell instead of a drawn out ritual, you can make it last for a little, a brief periods of time here. And during your practices, you're able to practice outside a little bit, notice that when you have it right and you can feel when the spell clicks properly, even your footprints in the snow are very, very faint at best. And that, you know, somebody would not normally be able to see them without great skill at most. You feel almost like an elf or something.
Yeah, I think that encourages her, and then she looks around to see if anyone saw her do it, because she's like, yeah, my dude is probably inside. She's like, oh, I did it, but no one else saw her. But then she looks over at the graveyard and just kind of flicks her eyes once.
And that ancient guardian ghost is sitting there, the one who guards the gate. And he's just kind of sort of absentmindedly looking in your direction every now and then, as though you're the only thing moving around here because there aren't any squirrels hanging out right now. Yamaguda's already gone home.
Yeah.
He's probably got something else going on.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. I don't have that much of his attention mechanically yet, but I think I can just like render a quick salute to the ghost and then, you know, get in my car and turn on my phone and start the drive back.
All right, you turn on your phone. It takes after you get out of the woods, because there's really not even a lot of reception there when you're, he's let you drive near his house, but asked you to keep out of sight just in case before when you really needed to check your phone. And then you're suddenly got within range of the long range Wi-Fi on it, and ping, 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 messages appear. You get out of the forest and ping, 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 the messages appear there too. Once you hit the main road, Jessica saying, hey, I'm getting some takeout sushi. Do you want me to have any for you? That message is 2 hours old. It's probably too late. A text from your mom of, do you want to come over for dinner tomorrow? We haven't seen you recently. I want to hear all about school. A couple email reminders of the classwork that's due and all of that too. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But those are the two notable ones.
Yeah. The classwork, as mentioned before, classwork is light-ish at this point, but she can't just ignore it and wait till the end of the semester for the project and do it in the last 19 hours and drink a pot of coffee and carry out a 20-page midterm. No one's ever done that before.
No, we're presuming she's a little bit organized and has some reminders or something, considering she's basically going to regular school and magic school at the same time
while holding down a gig economy job.
Exactly. It's not overwhelming or anything. She's lucky she can get her point of willpower back from sleeping some nights.
Yeah. I do have points of drive, so I think she'll respond to Jess's text, like, supposing sushi's no longer an option, and she'll just do like the speech to text to that. And, you know, it's 2018-19, so, or at least the phone's from 18 or earlier, so it comes up pretty garbly, but she sends it out anyway.
It comes up close enough, but yeah, this is March in 2020 right now. But it's a 2020 that's not a plague year, because let's have a slightly better game than that.
Yeah, there's a lot worse things going on in the world of darkness.
Oh, of course. They're just more interesting.
Yeah. So, assuming that she doesn't... Assuming sushi's no longer an option for tonight, she'll probably like try to pick something up on the way home, but she'll also like... maybe call up her mom while she's driving, because like talking while driving is somehow less of a sin than texting and driving.
Well, hands-free is easier. So you do get a ping back that says, got you a California roll in case. Hope that's what you wanted.
Oh, I pushed the button that says like the more recent emojis, and I pick an appropriate heart or something, or smiley face. But I'll call my mom on the way home and say yes to dinner.
Good, good, good. You're coming by tomorrow, right?
Yeah, mom. Just been really busy with all the the stuff, the school and the internship and the job and, you know.
Yes, yes. That is a lot to handle. I have good news. Your father has good news. It will be nice to see you.
Out of character, my father who's dead?
I forgot that he was dead. I am sorry about that detail. Sorry. It's been a few months, okay? So, now she says, I have good news. I have some good news about your uncle. I believe you didn't have siblings, if I'm correct.
Only child.
Yeah, making sure I remember that correctly. Yeah, but you do, your mother does have some siblings. You're technically, you know, have a few relatives sitting around besides yourself.
Grandma, despite still living in Michigan, is very active in my life.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't send you texts as often, but if you don't call her at least every other week, she gets grumpy.
Right, and at least once a month, there's some sort of dried out homemade food that she mailed to me at incredible expense, probably.
Yep, there definitely frequently is. Though she's gotten better at jellies lately. Mm. And those really don't go weird in the mail.
Excellent. So I make plans to see Mom the next night and head on home. And if nothing else is exciting going on, I'll probably enjoy the sushi roll while trying to complete the ritual to have it, you know, for all day to the next day.
All right.
I'm not sure if it starts at like 12:01 or if it's just 24 hours, but
it's 24 hours from when you complete the ritual.
Okay.
And if you get more successes, it's even better.
Okay. So yeah, I'll try to time it. So like I'm not going to bed like too early before midnight or something.
Yeah. Well, you're able to get home probably by 8 o'clock or so. So you'd still be up till like almost midnight doing it tonight.
Yeah. I think she could go off like 7 hours of sleep.
If she's waking up at a really strict time, she's a college student.
Yes. Yeah. She's good. She's good staying up till midnight to do a magical ritual that might lead to ghost busting or whatever.
All right. And Jess is there when you get home. She is actually on the couch in the living room playing Mario Kart or something like that.
Oh, damn it. Now I guess I am going to be up after midnight.
Do you join in with her?
Oh yeah, I'd probably finish the sushi roll and we'd probably play much longer. But
and it turns out there are a couple crab rangoons left also, but they're cold now.
It's okay. Nothing has ever gone bad from reheating seafood in a microwave.
Yeah. So she will keep you playing Mario Kart with her for a while because she hasn't done that for a bit, and she will go on and on about like a few of the people in some of her classes. And I don't know how exactly gossipy you want to get into her social life, but she seems to have a lot of friends and be planning on meeting some at the club tomorrow night for a little while because she hasn't gone out to a club in a couple weeks. And did you want to go tomorrow?
Tomorrow night? Well, I'm having dinner with my mom, but this doesn't start till later, right?
Well, I'm going to be there like probably 7 or 8, something like that.
Oh.
Because the DJ is getting me in as long as I get in when he gets there with no cover charge.
Okay.
And I know the band, too, that's going to happen afterwards at 10. They're awesome. I think you'll like Jeff. He's awesome. He's really cute, and he is such a good singer. And she starts to babble a bit again about multiple people in the band. And you can't tell if she has crushes on them or she just really enjoys the music and they're in some of her classes at some point in time.
Yeah. So like while she's saying that, I guess Emily now is like on her phone calendar trying to like make this all work because she's trying to say yes to everything. college students do and still find time to probably have to do the investigation during the school. Probably only has one or two classes, so she'll probably aim for a late wake up, go to a class, hop around, do the yacht club in the afternoon, probably be less suspicious than anyways, and then go up, maybe just stay for the quiz and then cut out after the second class, in order to do homework for another class. She's basically planning her whole schedule.
Yeah, the yacht club is actually like an hour drive south. It's even further away than the cabin. Yeah. It's like one town closer to Deerston.
Yeah, and she's basically like, "Oh, if I could get a ride going down that area, maybe I could make it worth my time."
The train that goes to Deerston actually does pass through near the yacht club.
Yeah,
but not close enough that you'd want to walk there. Just right. Far enough away that it's inconvenient.
So, Emily says yes to everything. Texts her mom about, "Oh, mine's starting dinner earlier. I do have something with I did promise Jess something, but yeah, like somehow college kids make this work." So yeah,
so you can get to be completely overloaded for a day
and do it after being up all night putting together a magical ritual, but I can still sleep in. All right.
As long as you pull off the spell on the first time, we're good. Yeah. So your base dice pool on this thing, let's do our little math. You got 3 dice for that. And you can add in 2 yantras, which will be able to earn you some more dice, depending on what you try to do to make your ritual work better. What kind of stuff are you thinking about?
Well, I mean, see, this is a veiling spell. I'm trying to remember what governs veiling. If it's like cups, coins, swords, or hearts, or...
Oh, luckily for us, both of us have PDFs sitting around waiting to be used for moments like this. So I can make sure that I give you the best advice that makes sense. Mirrors, I think, would probably be really appropriate, though.
All right, well, I have a pretty shiny hammer, but I also have a bedroom or a bathroom mirror, which
I mean, you probably have a bedroom mirror too.
Yeah, bedroom mirror.
Like
that seems more practical, even though
you have one of those things hanging off the closet door, nothing else, that are like $10 at a big box store.
Oh yeah, no, and plus if I do it that way, I could probably sit down in my bed while doing this. So
that's worth one more die, because it's not a special. Super special mirror, but it is a mirror, and that's good enough.
All right.
So, and you got your dedicated tool that you could use for another die, or you could use high speech for another die. One or the other of those would be fine.
I'll probably whisper in high speech, because like a hammer, just as cool as it is, I don't want it to be the go-to gadget. So that's 7 dice then?
5 dice, because you had 3 to begin with, and then you have 2 different things that will give you 1 extra die.
All right. Let's see how this goes. I had 5, and then I just added 2 more for the ones I put in already.
Yeah, you can't completely whisper with high speech, unfortunately. You have to at least use a firm speaking volume. Mm-hmm. But you can do that while you got some music playing in the background or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you use the music to set up the mood and so on like that.
Got 2 successes.
2 successes? Nice. So
do 10s always explode?
Always. You might have more than 2.
Just two.
Okay, so 2 successes plus technically 1 more because of having 2 dots in depth, if you choose to use it, would give you 3 successes worth of duration. Does that sound like you want to go with that route? The spell will last a week.
Unless I override it or cancel it. Yeah, perfect. This should be plenty of time to do investigations and...
And it uses your 1 spell control that's free. So if you use any more spell control, you start provoking paradox. Cool. You've got the second spell running out of time.
Yeah. I think Che is pretty happy with how that went, because she probably hasn't done this solo very often. But alrighty. I think exhausted, she finally goes to bed to start the day.
Excellent. I don't think you were down a point of willpower, but if you were, you could have gained it back because you're sleeping in.
Yeah, I did use a mana to interact with a ghost. How do I gain mana back?
So we've got a couple methods. You can either, sacrifice a lethal health level, which will take a couple days to heal up for 2 mana. Or you can sacrifice for 24 hours a dot in a physical attribute for 3 mana. And the dot comes back afterwards.
Yeah, those don't seem like great options right now, considering it's to have some.
Those are what you got for being basic low-level mage. Otherwise, you don't have any arcana that would let you take mana from elsewhere, unfortunately. And you don't have access to a hollow on the regular, a nice sacred space in the world where mana shows up on its own. Technically, your mentor, you're pretty sure, has one.
Probably
wants access to one, or you can do favors, but in general, he just tells you that you should, be willing to tire yourself out now and then. So given that your highest physical attribute is 3, sometimes you have to lower your stamina down to 2 for a day to get some mana back.
Yeah, he probably wants me to learn some sort of lesson, but lowering stamina after being up all night, luckily I get to sleep in, but I think I'll just absorb the mana loss for now.
That's fine. It's not like you're very likely to use 9 points of mana in a day.
Want to find out more about the story? Join our Discord channel. The link is in the description.